This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you are listening to The Morning Run. Good morning. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, together with Kusu Chuang and Philip C.
Good morning.
Selamat pagi, rakan-rakan.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love the announcer voice.
It's comrades.
Comrades in arms. Soldiers, countrymen.
We're going to recap how global markets closed yesterday.
Yes, so the US was in positive territory. The Dow and S&P was up 0.8%. The Nasdaq also in positive territory at 0.6%. Across over at Asia Pacific, all in negative territory. The Nikkei and Shanghai Composite down 0.5%. Hang Seng negative 0.2%. Singapore down 0.4%. And KLCI, its perennial zig to the zag, up 0.5%.
And for some thoughts on what's moving markets this time, we turn to Jack Cousy, Director for Strategy at VFS Group in Sydney. Jack, good morning. I want to start with the big news of the day yesterday, which was the proposed takeover of Afterpay by Square. This has put Australian tech in the global spotlight. Are there other technology companies that are likely to attract similar foreign interest?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Salamantagi, I think is what he said. I don't know if I said it properly or what I was actually
great
saying,
but thank you for having me.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, it's great to be in the news. We were the belle of the ball in global markets yesterday with the announced takeover of Square of our local tech company, which has been one of the best performing stocks on the globe in the last couple of years. A fantastic deal for a fantastic company that's really innovated. In terms of other players here, I think what you've seen in some of the reactions to the share price, it's second cousin or its little cousin here is a company called Zip, which has the second most dominant market share in that buy now, pay latest space. And that's certainly rallied off the news. It's up in excess of around 18 or 19% on the back of maybe a proposed takeover there. A little company that your investors or listeners might not be privy to is a company called Nuix. It's a data analytics firm. It recently IPO'd. It's been around for almost 10 or 15 years, but really innovative. Has been under a bit of pressure due to some bad news around how the IPO was put forward. But that's something that we're looking at from a fund management point of view. But certainly a great day for Australia and a great acquisition for Square, which is a company that continues to go from strength to strength. And I think it highlights, if you want to talk about generally, that the banking sector and the finance sector is in a wave of innovation and disruption. And this is the first of many, I think, in this space.
Yeah, well, talking about rich harvests, Jack, obviously Australia with its list of companies that you just mentioned could be a new field. Does that take away the shine from China, though? Which is obviously seeing a bit of moribundness, if there's ever such a word, given Alibaba's lackluster earnings, which we also reported last night.
Yeah, I mean, lackluster, I think, is a bit of a harsh word to say about the earnings. I mean, we're going to concentrate on the miss, but, you know, it did okay. I mean, I'm breaking down the earnings. Look, there's a lot of questions around what China is doing and a lot of no clarity in the market about where they're going with this major tech crackdown. But what I can tell you is that we've started to see some clarity in the last couple of weeks. We've had the institutions there or the regulatory bodies say that they're conducting a six-month investigation. They've already cleared 68 firms in regards to their tech compliance, and they include companies like Baba, like Baidu. So there's a lot of smoke at the moment, but you've got to understand that this is an innovative country with innovative companies, and they'll continue to innovate as we go forward. It's just a matter of investors looking through that and looking through to the other side. In terms of Australia, we have been really innovative for quite a long time. So it's good to see that other people are recognizing that. And like I said, I think there's a lot of free money out there, a lot of liquidity, and you might see, you know, a bunch of merger and acquisitions over the oncoming months and years.
Jack, there seems to be a lot of long-term repercussions with this development because there seems to be an element of morality that the Chinese government wants to inject into its tech sector, very different from the freewheeling capitalism of the US tech sector. Yeah. What does that mean for returns over the long term for investors, though?
Yeah, well, I mean, yesterday we saw a kind of a snapshot of that morality when they called gaming spiritual opium, which led to a massive sell down in some of the gaming stocks, particularly Tencent and its rival NetEase in there. I think the world is understanding that China has a different methodology and a different idea for what it wants to do for its tech companies. But we must put this into perspective. we have to understand that these tech companies have been remained or have been unchecked for almost a decade and have allowed to be run free for quite a long time. So this was coming. We just didn't expect it with such force. China has spelled out that these four spiritual pillars of morality is something that it wants to continue. Housing is a big one, healthcare, life, and education, and will continue to do so. But if you want to point to what is happening, then you've got to look at some of the earnings. So even if you take Alibaba last night, revenue increased by 35%. Its global users increased by 45 million. Its China commerce retail was up. Its cloud computing was up. So there's still great companies with great prospects for revenue growth. We're just in the midst of a crackdown. Now, my perspective here is, if you want to talk about the crackdown and then where the valuations are on Chinese markets, then I believe the selling has been a little bit unfair and we're starting to get, to a nice little space. But look, this is a developing space. But what I can tell you is that we do have a timeline in place and I think that will benefit the market. The other thing I will say is that if we go back in history, history can tell us a lot. And we've seen these crackdowns before by the Chinese government. And a perfect example of that was the 2018 crackdown on healthcare, where they went after the generic drug market. And what we saw there, if your listeners are listening, if you look at the healthcare MSCI China index, that retreated by about 50%, if not a little bit more. And what it did do was it brought in a wave of innovation in the biological sector or the biotech sector in China, and we saw a recovery there. So I believe we're seeing the same type of things in the area of tech. And some of these crackdowns are good. I mean, asking Meishuan to pay their drivers more or provide them with a minimum wage or give them insurance is not necessarily a bad thing. Trying to promote innovation by their tech companies by not stifling those new players coming into the market, I don't think is necessarily a bad thing long term for the Chinese economy.
Well, shifting, Jack, to a stock that's on a high now, Lyft, really stellar numbers. So is there more Lyft to Lyft?
Yeah, I think this is a great sector. Look, I've said this for a long time. Ride sharing is a fantastic sector which is increasing in terms of its margins. So whenever you have a new type of technology or a new process, and ride sharing is one that's been around for, 7 or 8 years, what you tend to have is you tend to have a lot of new players that come to the market. And the wave and the amount of data and the amount of resources you need to run a global ride-sharing company, Lyft, I know, is a little bit domestic in North Canada, is a lot. So what happens is you start to get a concentration of the market. And that's what we've certainly seen in ride-sharing. So there are really only 5 really big players in the world in terms of ride-sharing, and Lyft has that North American market down packed along with Uber. So I love this type of business. I love the data they're collecting. I love the other services that they can start to increase. And I really like the ride-sharing companies around the world. Lyft, Uber, Didi, maybe not now in spite of what's going on. You've obviously got Grab over there in Southeast Asia. These are phenomenal businesses with a lot of scope to grow as we start to reopen the economies.
All right, Jack, one final question then. With rising volatility in global equity starting to emerge, should investors then start reallocating their stock holdings from emerging to developed markets, do you think?
No, I don't believe so. Not at these valuations. Look, you can't have a broad-based portfolio and not include emerging markets. Let's just push China for aside for a moment, because maybe I sound like a broken record sometimes. But, you talk about places like India, where you have a wave of innovation, who are coming out an awful pandemic, who are really starting to move towards becoming a more developed economy and placing their flag across the global scale. You look at the Southeast Asian region where you have a rising middle class. You cannot ignore it. Now, they've obviously suffered because of the lack of infrastructure and a lack of health facilities before the pandemic. But I believe what health authorities around the world are telling us, if we get vaccinated, we're going to get back to work and these economies will grow. So you cannot ignore emerging markets. They've been a great performer for a long time. And I actually think they will outperform in the years to come.
All right, Jack, thanks as always for your insights. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group in Sydney, talking to us about what's been moving markets and saying don't take your money out of emerging markets just yet.
You see, that's the thing, right? Fund managers are like that, because if you're invested in the region, you can't just swallow the loss. You've got to take a position and double down, which I think, obviously, because Jack Kuzi is a perma bear on China. He's got quite a lot of money in China. So
he feels invested and he has to kind of
describe it. Yeah, in a way, you've got to double down and, you know, really believe and in your faith in the market and be convicted. Do you know what I mean? Not in the jail sense, but in the market sense.
But there are long-term fundamentals, right? That there's room for growth still for these developing
markets. Yeah, but that's the thing. I talked to a lot of fundamentals in the wake of what happened with Tel and obviously Alibaba and Financial. It's been a lot of months already, right?
Yeah.
A lot of them they're hesitant to invest in China because there's a lot of, I don't know what's going to happen next.
It is true. We did have a call early this week about they're worried about the institutional infrastructure there, right? So whether it has a play. But I guess in the broader emerging markets story, beyond China, I think there's still pockets of opportunity.
Oh, 100%. I mean, Latin America is ripe for picking. Yep. Indonesia, I mean, Malaysia, right? As it stands, right? Grab is trying to go for listing, you know, 700 million population, rising middle class.
Yep.
You've got, you know, who else? You've got the Catch-up Group, who's raised $300 million out of the blank check company, which
Traveloka plans to do.
Traveloka, right? Yep. And then obviously Catch-up bought, and Carsum have bought, the deals together. So there's a lot of stuff.
All right. Lots of things to keep your eye on if you're interested in emerging markets. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.